Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
So we take our seats and say, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And our first hymn is The Church's One Foundation, 525. This is the day the Lord has made. Please be seated. We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and in faith. Lord God, you have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Grant, we beseech thee, merciful Lord, to your faithful pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Blessed is the Lord,
for he has heard the voice of our prayer.
Therefore shall our hearts dance for joy,
and in our soul we will praise our God.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, creator and redeemer of all. To you be glory and praise forever. From the waters of chaos you drew forth the world, and in your great love fashioned us in your image. Now, through the deep waters of death, you have brought your people to new birth by raising your Son to life in triumph. May Christ, your light, ever dawn in our hearts as we offer you our sacrifice of thanks and praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now we come to our second hymn, number 215. I heard the voice of Jesus say. Please be seated. And we have the reading from the Old Testament.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 26, beginning to read at verse 1. Early in the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Stand in the courtyard of the Lord's house and speak to all the people of the towns of Judah who come to worship in the house of the Lord. Tell them everything I command you. Do not omit a word. Perhaps they will listen, and each will turn from their evil ways. Then I will relent and not inflict on them the disaster I was planning because of the evil they have done. Say to them, this is what the Lord says. If you do not listen to me and follow my law, which I have set before you, and if you do not listen to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I have sent to you again and again, though you have not listened, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and this city a curse among all the nations of the earth. The priests, the prophets, and all the people heard Jeremiah speak these words in the house of the Lord. But as soon as Jeremiah finished telling all the people everything the Lord had commanded him to say, the priests, the prophets, and all the people seized him and said, "You must die. Why do you prophesy in the Lord's name that this house will be like Shiloh and this city will be desolate and deserted?" And all the people crowded around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard about these things, they went up from the royal palace to the house of the Lord and took their places at the entrance of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and all the people, "This man should be sentenced to death because he has prophesied against this city. You have heard it with your own ears." Then Jeremiah said to all the officials and all the people, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the things you have heard. Now reform your ways and your actions and obey the Lord, your God. Then the Lord will relent and not bring the disaster he has pronounced against you. As for me, I am in your hands. Do with me whatever you think is good and right. Be assured, however, that if you put me to death, you will bring the guilt of innocent blood on yourselves and on this city and on those who live in it. For in truth, the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing." Then the officials and all the people said to the priests and the prophets, "This man should not be sentenced to death. He has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Blessed are you, God of Israel, forever and ever. For yours is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor, and the majesty.
Everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom of the Lord, and you are exalted as the head of the world.
riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all.
In your hand are power and might, yours is the power and strength to all.
And now we give you thanks, our God, and praise your glorious name.
For all things come up from you, and of your own have we given you.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Now we come to our second reading from Acts chapter 3.
The New Testament reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Sorry, I've got a frog. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went in with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to his people and set them free. Through his holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all that hate us. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies. And you, child, shall be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding round him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled up their boats on shore, left everything, and followed him. Isn't this a wonderful story? People had come in droves to see Jesus, and Jesus got into Peter's boat to escape the crush. Then he caught the crowd from the little boat. And when Jesus had finished teaching the crowd, he told his disciples, "Pull out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Peter must have been tempted to say, "Master, you know we've been there all night and we haven't caught anything. We're tired and we would like to go home." But Peter checked his quick tongue, thought for a moment, and said, "Yet if you say so, I will let down the net." So disciples let down the nets, and suddenly they were swamped with fish. The load threatened to break the nets. They called the second boat, and the load threatened to sink both boats. The disciples were amazed. Peter responded immediately. He always did the first thing that crossed his mind. This time he saw he was in the presence of God. The second thing that crossed his mind, that he was not worthy to be in the presence of God. He told Jesus, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." In the presence of Christ's holiness, Peter was overwhelmed at his own unholiness. For the first time, Peter saw the stark contrast between what God created him to be and what he had become. The prophet Isaiah was like that. Isaiah found himself in God's presence and cried out, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips." Peter and Isaiah were overwhelmed. I wonder what would happen if we were to come into the presence of God and if Jesus were to work a miracle. I wonder if we'd be amazed. I wonder if we'd think that Jesus had played a clever trick. I wonder if we'd be overwhelmed by his holiness. I wonder if we'd see the contrast between Jesus' holiness and our unholiness. Today, we see so much unholiness. The news is full of it. We see it at work and we see it at play. Nothing shocks us anymore. Compared to the evil we see around us, our own sins seem pretty tame. How could Jesus get our attention? What would Jesus have to do to get the attention of the people of Tyler's Green and Penn? What would happen if Jesus came here today? What would happen if he brought the power of his holiness into our midst? I doubt that we would crucify him. We would probably just tolerate him. We would say, well, he's entitled to his opinion. And we would probably ignore him. But Peter didn't ignore Jesus. Peter obeyed Jesus. Jesus asked something of Peter that was at the same time small and great. Jesus asked Peter, a professional fisherman, to go out into the deep water and to lay down his nets. That was a small thing. Peter had done that 1,000 times. In fact, Peter had done it that very night. Peter asked something very small of Peter. But at the same time, Jesus asked Peter to do something great. Peter and his friends had been fishing all night and hadn't caught anything. There were no fish there. We can enjoy work if we see results. But Peter and his friends seemed no results. Peter was tired and discouraged and worried and ready to go home. But Jesus was asking Peter to believe that his presence, Jesus' presence, would make a difference. He was asking Peter to do a little thing that would demonstrate great faith. He was saying, Peter, this won't make any sense to you, but do it anyway. Notice Peter's response. First he grumbled a bit. Then he said, Master, we worked all night and took nothing. But then he said, but if you say so, I will let down the net. If you say so, has been the response of God's people throughout history. If you say so, was Noah's response when God asked him to build a big boat in his backyard. If you say so, was Moses' response when God called him to lead his people out of slavery. If you say so, was Isaiah's response when God called him to speak for God. Back in the 1920s, a young girl named Lois Sechrist felt a call to the mission field. However, she did not follow that call. Instead, she got married and stayed at home. Many years passed, her husband died, and Lois felt the call again. But she was hesitant. Lord, she said, I'm too old to go now. I can't do this. But God kept calling her. And finally, Lois answered. Now in her 80s, she moved to the Philippines and established an orphanage, a home for 35 children who otherwise would not have any home. Where did these children come from? Some had been abused by their parents. Some were living on the streets. Who knows whether these children would have survived if it had not been for the orphanage? When Lois decided to answer her call, she found no denomination willing to provide financial support. They told her what early she had told God. Lois, you're too old to go now. You can't do this. But she went anyway. Lois found people who would help. She answered her call. In doing so, she has saved 35 lives. 35 children are safe and healthy because one old woman believed that with God, nothing is impossible. If he says so. Did she miss a call early on? There's no point in that question now. What matters is that she heard the call in old age and chose to respond in God's time to make a difference in 35 lives. If you say so, has been the response of every person that God has ever been able to use. Some of them grumped a bit at first, but then they said, if you say so. Moses said, I can't speak well. And then he said, if you say so. Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. But then he said, if you say so. Peter said, we already tried that, Jesus. But then he said, if you say so. God has always been able to use people if he says so. He's never been able to use people who say, maybe, or someday, or my way. He's never been able to use people who say, no. 20 centuries ago, Augustine put it this way. Jesus Christ will be Lord of all, or he will not be Lord at all. 6 centuries ago, Martin Luther put it this way. God creates out of nothing. Therefore, until a person is nothing, God can make nothing out of him. Did you understand that? However we say it, the truth is that God will neither bless nor use us if we insisted on doing it our own way. God will not even try to use us if our hearts are hard and resistant. God can use us only when we come to him as soft as clay, ready to be reshaped in his image and to obey his will. So, what about us? What does God want from our life? What little thing and what big thing is he calling us to do? Is he asking me to pay more attention to my family? Is he asking me to obey my parents? He's asking me to deal honestly with my employer. Is he asking me to deal compassionately with my employees or my co-workers? Is he asking me to get honest on my tax form? Is he asking me to get help with alcohol or drugs? Is he asking me to get serious about the money that I put in the offering plate? Is he asking me to take down the wall that I've built around myself? Whatever God is asking of us, it is his way of preparing us for blessings. Whatever God asks for us, let's answer, if you say so, and see what God can do. Amen. Right, we stand for the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And before we have our prayers, we have a hymn, Amazing Grace. Hymn 19. Seated, Roy will come and pray for us and with us.
Let us pray. Lord, heal our sick world and bring down your wrath on those who abuse their power over others. Lord, in your mercy, help the victims in our world, Lord, particularly those facing irrational hatred. At this time, we pray for those who lost loved ones in the Örebro shootings in Sweden. Lord, in your mercy. And in a world that is regressing to mass hatred and ugliness, let us not follow, but stand proud as a country of strong values, tolerance and understanding. Lord, in your mercy. Let us celebrate in our prayers those who are a force for good, those whose first instinct is to help others, those with little who nonetheless give generously to the oppressed. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for our community, Lord. Our villages came together this Christmas to show community strength. Family and community are the bedrock of our society. We pray for both. Lord, in your mercy. And let us never forget, Lord, the basic values of our faith. Love for our neighbour, forgiveness, and humility. Lord, in your mercy. We all know of people who are suffering at this time, sickness, bereavement, stress, poverty, hopelessness. Let us take a moment to reflect on their suffering and to pray for them. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We pray the collect for today. Lord of the hosts of heaven, our salvation and our strength, without you we are lost. Guard us from all the harms or hurts, and raise us when we fall. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Together we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Now we stand and sing our final hymn. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, number 79.
As we are.
God of our salvation, you have restored us to life. You have brought us back again into your love by the triumphant death and resurrection of Christ. Continue to heal us as we go to live and work in the power of your Spirit to your praise and glory. And we face each other over the aisle and say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Please be seated.